lovely stories. There was this girl who drank poison when her young man had died, and there was one who jumped off a cliff because her father insisted she should marry this old man, and another one drowned herself rather than submit. Mort listened in astonishment. To judge by Isabel's careful choice of reading matter, it was a matter of note for any disc female to survive adolescence long enough to wear out a pair of stockings. And then she thought he was dead, and she killed herself, and then he woke up, and so he did kill himself. And then there was this girl. Common sense suggested that at least a few women reached their third decade without killing themselves for love, but common sense didn't seem to get even a walk-on part in these dramas. The disc's greatest lovers were undoubtedly Melius and Gretelina, whose pure, passionate and soul-searing affair would have scorched the pages of history if they had not, because of some unexplained quirk of fate, been born 200 years apart on different continents. However, the gods took pity on them and turned him into an ironing board and her into a small brass bollard. When you're a god, you don't have to have reasons. Mort was already aware that love made you feel hot and cold and cruel and weak, but he hadn't realized that it could make you stupid. Swam the river every night, but one night there was this storm, and when he didn't arrive, she... Mort felt instinctively that some young couples met, say, at a village dance, and hit it off, and went out together for a year or two, and had a few rows, made up, got married, and didn't kill themselves at all. He became aware that the litany of star-crossed love had wound down. "Oh," he said weakly, "doesn't anyone just, you know, just get along any more?"
"To love is to suffer," said Isabel. "There's got to be lots of dark passion."
"Has there?"
"Absolutely. And anguish."
Isabel appeared to recall something.
"Did you say something about something flapping around loose?" she said, in the tight voice of someone pulling themselves together.
Mort considered. "No," he said.
"I'm afraid I wasn't paying much attention."
"It doesn't matter at all." They strolled back to the house in silence. When Mort went back to the study, he found that Death had gone, leaving four hourglasses on the desk. The big leather book was lying on a lectern, securely locked shut. There was a note tucked under the glasses. Mort had imagined that Death's handwriting would either be Gothic or else tombstone angular. But Death had in fact studied a classic work on graphology before selecting a style and had adopted a hand that indicated a balanced, well-adjusted personality. It said, "Gone fishing, there is an execution in Pseudopolis, a natural in Kroll, a fatal fall in the Carrick Mountains, one ague in El Quinte. The rest of the days your own." Mort thought that history was thrashing around like a steel hawser with the tension off, twanging backwards and forwards across reality in great destructive sweeps. History isn't like that. History unravels gently, like an old sweater. It has been patched and darned many times, re-knitted to suit different people, shoved in a box under the sink of censorship to be cut up for the dusters of propaganda, yet it always, eventually, manages to spring back into its old familiar shape. History has a habit of changing the people who think they are changing it. History always has a few tricks up its frayed sleeve. It's been around a long time. This is what was happening. The misplaced stroke of Mort's scythe had cut history into two separate realities. In the city of Stolat, Princess Kaeli still ruled with a certain amount of difficulty and with the full-time aid of the royal recogniser, who was put on the court payroll and charged with the duty of remembering that she existed. In the lands outside, though, beyond the plain, in the ramtops, around the Circle Sea, and all the way to the rim, the traditional reality still held sway, and she was quite definitely dead. The Duke was king, and the world was proceeding sedately according to plan, whatever that was. The point is that both realities were true. The sort of historical event horizon was currently about 20 miles away from the city and wasn't yet very noticeable. That's because the, well, call it the difference in historical pressures, wasn't yet very great. But it was growing. Out in the damp cabbage fields there was a shimmer in the air and a faint sizzle, like frying grasshoppers. People don't alter history any more than birds alter the sky. They just make brief patterns in it. Inch by inch, implacable as a glacier and far colder, the real reality was grinding back towards Stolat. Mort was the first